when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time for your abandoned Manitoba updates. Gordon Goldsborough is here with us again this morning. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
So I've really enjoyed this thing that you've started doing, looking back at previous segments of Abandoned Manitoba and then updating us on what's been happening. And as we'll see in one of these updates, quite dramatic changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the nature of abandoned places, of course. Things are bound to change. And so I thought there's a few cases where I think it might be interesting just to hear about what has happened since I first talked about some of these places.
Okay, so where should we start first?
I just want to remind the listeners that we have a complete audio archive of 4 years worth of this series on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society, and you can play them on your phone, your music player, your computer. And so if I say this is a place that I talked about in May of 2016, well, if your curiosity is piqued, you can go back and listen.
Excellent. Okay, so let's perhaps start with the one that might be at the forefront of a lot of people's minds, given its recent
demise.
Recent news coverage.
Well, okay, so May of 2016, I talked about the Atkinson House, which was located just south of Hamiota. And I described how it was a home for a rather noted fellow named Arthur Atkinson. He built a grand home that was in many ways as good, if not better, than many of the homes here in Winnipeg. It had modern amenities like running water and electric lights and telephone. Well, unfortunately, it is gone. Back in the 7th of May, just a few weeks ago, it was destroyed in a grass fire. And it's too bad because, unfortunately, that was a nice reminder of the sort of the transition. Because the reality was, it was, although it was a beautifully appointed house, not very well insulated. And in fact, one of the listeners later contacted me and said she had lived in the house at one point. And yeah, it was cold. They said in the wintertime, they only used two or three rooms in the building just because of being so cold, because it didn't have insulation.
What was it like for you to see the image of the house once it had been burnt down?
It was sad, of course. You know, anytime you see something like that destroyed. But it was tempered with the fact that the next day, literally, I saw another house that was, I think, equally grand, if not more so. And I may actually talk about that other house in a future episode of this series. So, you know, there are other buildings that can remind us of how, you know, homes have evolved through the years.
So sadly, the once abandoned Atkinson House is no more. Mm-hmm. What's another update of another location?
Well, another thing that is no more is a little suspension bridge at the municipality of Dauphin, north of the city of Dauphin. I talked about it back in July of 2016, and it was a nice little small suspension bridge. You know, if you think of the bridge at Souris, for example, very picturesque. This one is a much smaller one over a much smaller river, but a nice reminder of the way that people got across rivers. This one was built for school kids to get across the river to go to school on the other side. Unfortunately, it was getting kind of decrepit. It was kind of getting a little rickety, and I think the municipality was just worried about safety. If people walked across it, they might be injured. So in late 2017, they removed it, and it is now gone.
Any abandoned buildings still remaining?
Well, you know, sometimes I have to wonder if maybe I'm talking about them here on the show is sort of the kiss of death. Because in August of 2016, for example, I talked about a pump house of the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway. You know, because in the day when they ran steam locomotives, they needed water, to generate steam. And so, for example, in the community of Rivers, which was a major railway hub, they pumped water from the Little Saskatchewan River up to water tanks in the town, and the pump house located right next to the river is what we talked about. Well, shortly after that, the building was demolished. And I'm thinking, was that a coincidence? Or maybe the town was worried that it was an old and, again, decrepit building, and they were worried maybe that people listening to the episode might go, hey, let's go look at it, and that could cause problems. So, yep, it's gone too.
There's another bridge that you did a feature on. What happened to that?
Yeah, the 8th Street Bridge in Brandon. I talked about that back in September of 2016. It was built in 1968, so not an old bridge by standards of some of the ones that I've been to. It was a concrete bridge. It replaced an old steel bridge that had built in 1914. Well, unfortunately, the bridge, I guess because of structural problems, it had a truck hit it at one point. They closed it to anything but pedestrians in 2015. And in the summer of 2017, the 8th Street Bridge came down.
Yeah. And there was a castle that was demolished, or at least a building known as the castle,
This is really a downer episode, isn't it? Yeah, they're all coming down. Yeah, in Neepawa, there was the Davidson House, a magnificent two-story brick building that had been built by the town founder. But, wow, was it extensively deteriorated. In fact, a building inspector said that it was one of the worst buildings that he had seen in his entire career. So, in October of 2018, that building was demolished. And, in fact, I drove by the site 2 days ago, and it's just wide open there now. So, that one's gone, too.
Any examples of an abandoned building that is now given a new lease of life?
Yes. Well, luckily, there are some good news in this story. So, for example, back in December of 2016, I talked about three large warehouses in Killarney, Manitoba, where they had once stored flax fiber to be processed into a fine grade of paper. And they had sat empty for a number of years because the changing nature of the industry, they didn't need them anymore. Well, I can report that those buildings have now been sold. They're now being used to store equipment. So they're actually being used again. So that's nice that they actually have found a new use and hopefully a long life ahead of them.
And listeners might remember this one too, I'm sure, the Demonstration Farmhouse. Yeah, what's happening with that?
Another place in Killarney. I talked about it in April of 2017. It had been built in 1914 as the residence for the manager of something called a provincial demonstration farm. The idea was to show farmers the kinds of crops that could be grown here in Manitoba. It closed in 1946. It was used for various purposes, but it actually had sat empty for a number of years. But fortunately, a very active group in Killarney decided that they were going to put it to a new use, so they gutted the interior, they've renovated it into a public art space, and it just recently reopened. I had a tour of it. It is great. They've done a wonderful job at turning this old farmhouse into a useful, vibrant new space.
That is such good news. Now, I remember this one. It stuck out my mind when we did this. The North Kildonan Municipal Hall.
Right. Well, back from the day when Winnipeg wasn't as large as it is today, because there was actually a whole series of municipalities ringing the core of the city, which is now all part of Winnipeg. It joined, of course, in Unicity. Well, the rural municipality of North Kildonan built a municipal office along Henderson Highway in 1956. And, of course, then the Act of Unicity made it obsolete. It was used for a variety of purposes, including a community policing station until 2014. But I've noticed just recently, driving down Henderson Highway, the building has been put up for sale by the city government. Now, that could imply one of two things. Either that the building will be repurposed in some way and it'll be used for something else, or, and I think this may be an equal possibility, they'll tear the building down and they'll use the site to build something new. What is going to complicate matters, however, is that it is in a park that has some monuments, including a war memorial. And so any plans to redevelop that is going to have to be mindful of the fact they're going to have to do something with those monuments. But the site is up for sale. If anyone's interested in an old municipal office, there's an opportunity for you.
Okay, so we've covered some buildings, some bridges, and there is a dam that you want to give us an update about.
In Portage la Prairie, we have the Crescent Lake, which is actually a former oxbow of the Assiniboine River that was cut off. And through the years, people have tried to improve the water quality in it. They wanted to pump water from the Assiniboine River into Crescent Lake to kind of freshen it up a bit. And so back in between 1909 and 1910, there was something called a needle dam constructed. I talked about it back in February of 2018, and the remnants of it, it didn't work very well. And in fact, the city of Portage la Prairie ended up suing the company that built it for them. But the remains of it have been sitting on the bottom of the river ever since. Well, back in March of this year, the municipality actually removed the remains of that old needle dam over concerns that it might be contributing to riverbank erosion. So that old dam is now gone.
Couple more updates you have there with you, Gordon. What else?
So the Modern Dairy Building in St. Boniface, I talked about it back in May of 2018, a year ago. It had been built in 1929 to host the dairy of a fellow named Alfred de Kreiner, and eventually it hosted Modern Dairy, later Beatrice Foods, and then eventually a company called Parmalat. Well, it was vacated in favor of a building in an industrial park back in 2017, and in February of this year, it was demolished. So actually, just the other day, I was actually driving past, and the site is wide open, and in fact, I'm told they're preparing to build residential housing on the site.
And finally, listeners should be able to remember this one. It's just from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it just shows, you know, that when you talk about something on the air, you're potentially going to find out new information about it. So I talked in April about the underground research laboratory that had been built by Atomic Energy of Canada Limited. And I was contacted by listener Kevin Miller, who informed me that the site is now a part of a trail for mountain biking. You can actually cruise past it. Moreover, a friend of mine visited it, and he sent me some nice pictures showing the remains. And they actually capped the top of the big tunnel that goes way deep into the earth. They've capped it with some concrete as a way of sort of permanently closing it. So I have a much better sense of that site now as a result of these two people getting in touch with me.
Excellent. So some sad endings, but some happy endings for these abandoned structures.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Gordon. And what about the clue for next week?
Back in January, I talked about a program that is offered by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba to recognize people who have been doing good work in promoting awareness of Manitoba history. So I thought, since the awards were presented last week, that I would talk a little bit about the five people who received those awards.
I look forward to it, Gordon. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
No. Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.